This week on RSBNB Update, Modkeeper updates the RuneScape community on the next quarter of content. But many are still asking, what comes next? We also discuss building trust with the community and whether that trust was lost in the first place. Also, cookbook cosmetics and RuneFest ticket sales. This is RSBNB Update, episode 979, recorded Thursday, March 28th, 2024. Build back trust. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update this week. I don't know how to describe this week, but Tanis is off on a business trip, so I'm just doing the show alone here this week. No, I'm not, actually. I have two wonderful folks with me. Parnassius is here. Welcome.
Thank you, thank you. Happy Good Friday to everyone out there who celebrates it.
Right, because you are in Australia, so it already is Friday there. Fair enough. And it is Easter long weekend for the rest of us, including Zerdones, who is also here.
I'm not entirely sure I'm not just a figment of your imagination, honestly.
Oh?
But, I mean, if I am, hey, glad to be here.
Is that because you're from Eastern Canada?
Would you be imagining me if I were from Eastern Canada? How would you imagine me as an Eastern Canadian?
That's a good question.
Am I the devil on your shoulder? Am I...
Before we get too far down the road here and talk about Modkeeper's post, I do have to thank our experienced tier Patreon members for whom without RSBNB Update would not be possible. This week, I'd like to thank Amos Reed, Andrew C., Jerome Free, Jason S., Jesse W., Keski, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, and the Naked Captain. Big, huge thank you to all of these wonderful people. We'll have more a little bit later in the podcast about how the experience tier Patreon offerings work. This week here, we do have to discuss another message from Modkeeper that continues raising questions within the community. But if you do want to follow along, we do have show notes available at update.show. You can also join our friends chat, Bits Bytes, and we have a community Discord over at update.show/discord. And you can find me in game as well at Shane12088. So, no, Zerdones, you're not a figment of the imagination. And
that's good.
Neither are you, Parnassius. And the reason I wanted you guys both here this week is because back when Modkeeper's last post came out, we had a discussion, a deep discussion on what exactly that meant for the game going forward. And there was a portion of that show where we asked, has Jagex lost the trust of the community? And we had a brief discussion on that. And the answer was that we would have to kind of sit back and, you know, discuss that on another show. Well, that's what we're going to do this week, because the situation in particular with the messaging that came from Modkeeper, I don't think has put anyone's concerns to bed in terms of people who are concerned about it. I'll deal with the other
one
half
way
in just a moment.
It.
Yeah. Mm. Where do you guys come from on these? Parnassius, you go first. Alphabetical.
Yeah,
order.
He hasn't really expanded or done anything. There's no real change from the tone of the last one either. Very bare bones. They've announced a couple of updates, but haven't given us a lot of information.
Yeah, and you know that's what it looks like when you look at this post. And Zerdones, where do you land? Then I'll get into what was actually in the post here.
Yeah, I mean it. I agree with Parnassius. It's very much, it's basically the same, like almost even content-wise, it's the same as the last post. It's just, it's one quarter's worth of updates. It's slim on the ground. Not a ton to get excited about. Not a lot. Almost not a lot to say, he says, about to talk about it for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, you can see this if you just pare down the poist. To its bare essentials. In effect, point number one is that there's work going on behind the scenes to give you a longer-term view of the plans. They have gone back to basics. With that, there is a new way in terms of how the dev team designs, plans, develops, and operates, and no part of the development process has been off the table. And they are aiming to bring the players closer to the development cycle with more dev diaries, live streams, player voice surveys, and conversations in the official Discord. And we've seen dev diaries for things that have launched. We haven't seen many live streams, and we haven't seen many surveys. So one would believe that's recently on the way, I think.
We haven't had a lot of live streams. We did have that Discord stage
on
last
combat
week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, on combat. With Doom and Ryan and Sponge, I believe it was.
Yeah, sort of a follow-up from the combat beta.
And you know, that makes sense to do that. And that's a good copy going forward. But the thing is with that is I don't think they're releasing that Discord stage publicly on that. So you need to be able to, you know, land on the correct UK time to get that because...
Yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah, because the way I see it, they can't release it because there's folks going to be in there who are going to be talking in there who are part of the community, and you can't exactly, as Jagex, get the, you know, the legal consent for people to do that.
I didn't attend. Is that how they did it? Because my understanding with the Discord stages is only approved people can actually speak.
But there is a button, I think, as well to raise your hand.
Okay, I like I said, I didn't attend. I assumed the way they would handle it would be sort of like a live stream, but just more audio focused rather than video. So, like, Sponge and Ryan would be talking, and then Doom would be taking questions from chat. But maybe that's not how they did it, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, well, I guess somebody here needs to land on that so we can see the next one on that. There's going to be a survey in a few weeks guiding priorities for what's built in the future. And when it comes to the future, April is a new quest, Requiem for a Dragon, which continues where we left off after the Vorkath quest.
The Vorkathening.
Yeah, that's kind of the sense I get from this, is that it's just further, you know, Vorkath lore on the sense of where we left off. This is Mod Shrike, Mod Stew, and Mod Zura. So that's a wonderful team when it comes to writing quests. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. May we'll see a community hit list and environment update. And June will be the summer event.
So again, it sounds like May, unless they're holding something back, they're not telling us, again, is just sort of patch month. I don't get me wrong, I love environmental updates. I reckon, you know, I don't think people sort of understand how much work does go into that type of stuff. So, you know, I'm excited, especially around that Relicer area and such, because I do a lot of clues. I do go to a lot of those out of the way places. So to see all these updated, it's going to be great, but there's no actual playable content.
Well, you know, the community hit lists are always fairly meaty, and they're more than, you know, just patches for that. But
yeah, they're a little bit more like
If you split this out here, this is four updates until the end of June. Whereas we can expect in things in the weeks in between there, we're going to have a double XP somewhere in there. We're going to have patches. But that's it. We're coasting.
Well, again, it's the same situation we were in February.
Yeah.
Like I went back and I pulled up the February.
It's pretty much the same thing.
It's the same. Yeah. It's one meaty piece of content.
The quest.
One systems update and one time limited community event.
Yeah. Plus environment in there too. But. And.
Yeah. I mean, environments are a lot of work, but it's effectively a systems update. It's a polish update that it's not new content. It's just tech debt, basically.
Yes.
Which is important to take care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you remember when Mod Keeper came in, the thing that he said he wanted to work on and players accepted at that time was that they wanted more, you know, quality of life things, and that's what Hit List falls into. But that's becoming, you know, the bulk of the update here. And, you know, there is, of course, the Owl Quest that we had previous months. We liked it. We talked about it on the show. But for a lot of people, that didn't scratch the itch for that. So there's going to be a lot of eyes as soon as Requiem for a Dragon drops to see how big that is in comparison to everything else that we got going up to the end of June.
And that's, I mean, it was a fun little quest, the Owl Quest, but it wasn't...
Right. Like, it did what it needed to as a quest, but people wanted, you know, more, having really not had anything since Warcraft, you know, episodic content-wise, as it was once called. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're at in terms of the Keeper summary, in terms of what's on the way. And, you know, it would be nice to have a big tentpole piece of content to look forward to, but with this, presumably, it's not ready yet. And that's kind of where I want to go next with this, is a bit of a summary on what we came up with on the last time we talked about this, just to save everybody the time of going back to listen to that entire episode, is that the RS3 team and Jagex right now either have nothing that they can share as of yet, or they do have things that are progressing along, but they're not sure that they'll pan out. And that was effectively confirmed as well by Mod Pips on Reddit, which, you know, credit to him for going out there and saying that. But I don't think it helped the situation based on what people were expecting at the time.
No, not really.
Because he said there is good content coming, some that's locked in enough to share now, and a lot more that's in the works that's not quite ready to discuss yet, and some properly exciting ideas in there too. We are being particularly cautious about making commitments that might still change shape or dates that might slip.
Hmm. And that's it. And I appreciate that. As I said in the pre-show, coming from that sort of marketing management background, you don't want to get people excited about things that don't hit. And we've seen it several times with different updates of the game, that they've said this, people get all excited about and then never eventuate, you know, because storylines go a different way or the work involved is a lot more than what they'd actually expected first off and such. So I can appreciate what he's saying. I can also appreciate the player base saying, well, hey, you know, for 23 years, we've always got these, you know, great updates and this and that, and now all of a sudden, you know, over 3 months, you're giving us three things. It's like, that's not what we're used to. That's not what we're expecting. We want more.
Right, and something is obviously going on, and, you know, Keeper addresses it. Mod Stew addressed it somewhat candidly in a discussion in the lore Discord channels pertaining to the upcoming quest. He said that Mod Ramen was moved to Christmas. Stu himself was moved over to Hit List updates. And there was a whole shift of J-Mods at the end of last year. And then that, when you tie that in with what Keeper said about changing the way they work, what's not immediately said, and if you read between the lines on that, you realize that they have, you know, completely upended things after Hero Pass. And, you know, Pips says something here. And I think a lot of people we're expecting more from both Keeper and Pips on this, specifically for the RS3 side. And the way I see this is that for the people who are, in effect, have already completed their goals or are looking for something new, they see this as not being content and them having really nothing else left to do in-game. But I do also want to address that there is a whole collection of players out there, I think, that are the majority, and I know this is also the bulk of the folks who listen to this podcast here, is that you guys have told me, and we've talked about this, you know, in person, at round tables, and you've, you know, sent feedback into us that you are happy with the game as it is right now, and you are happy working on the goals that you have, whether that be max, whether that be 120 all, master quest cape, what have you. There is a class of players out there who are content to just play the game as it is right now, get the occasional graphical update, get the hit list, and maybe a quest here or there, where what Keeper said this week, in effect, is steady as she goes, and that's fine. And I think that's what we're seeing here, is a bifurcation between the people who are looking for something new and the people who are, on the other side, just content with playing the game as it is and completing the content that they have.
Yeah, I think that's the real sort of takeaway from the community backlash, because the players who are going to be most active in the community forums are going to be the most engaged players. The most engaged players are almost by definition going to tend towards players who are at the end game,
yeah,
and who are looking for new content and vitally can rush through content faster than Jagex could ever put it out.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
Like, and that's what I was going to say.
Other than Necromancy, like I'm kind of in that boat. Necromancy was a big update for me because it was a long update. But most updates that come out, most content updates, are an afternoon's work for me.
Right. And that's what we talk about when we say maintaining comp, maintaining trim. That's a phase that some people are in. And it's those people who are just in maintenance mode for those capes that are feeling the pinch on content, whereas people who are still working for those capes or working for things like Max are okay here. And I think that's the disconnect, is that Jagex is putting out, you know, messaging from people like Keeper and Pips that is okay and acceptable for the people working towards those goals, but for everybody else who is in maintenance mode of their account, they want something new. And like you said, Zerdones, they're going to be the most vocal when it comes to that.
They're also the most difficult to please because you can't put out content fast enough for those players. It's not possible.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. You know, I'm in between that, where I am going for 200 mil all, but I don't want to rush it because once I have got it, there's not a lot left. That's where things like the act track were good for me, because I could work on each skill. Okay, that's the goal this, you know, today. I can do that one tomorrow. Yeah, that gave you some sort of guide for 6 weeks. That's why. And having discussions with people at different sort of AFKable type events, like, you know, the Easter event we're doing now, it's amazing how many people miss it now that it's gone. We used to hear everyone hating on it, but so many people are missing it now that it's gone. That's why I enjoyed that type, because, hey, you unlock little cosmetics and all, they're just little things, but it gave a little bit of direction. Yep. And as you said, I mean, yeah, there is so much content in game. Those who are, I mean, unless you do have the, you know, the ultimate completionist, Ape. I mean, there are achievements to unlock. There are boss logs, slayer logs, clue logs. There is so much content that even if you are completionist, you haven't completed the game, because I would doubt that, you know, you have all of those logs and that done. So sit back and have a look at some of those other goals. You know, if you don't need, I mean, as we said, it is very light, and it was very light last quarter. It's going to be light this quarter, but let's see how they go. And you can understand them being hesitant on releasing information, as we said before, because of things that if it doesn't pan out, you know, they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't type thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think then, you know, with that, we kind of get to the core of the matter. And that comes down to trust. And I think the thing that is most important for me from the corporate and, let's just say, you know, the higher up design angle from the folks like Keeper and Pips, is that we're shown a vision for what RuneScape can be. What they want to do over the next, you know, 3 months, 6 months, year. And, you know, maybe, hey, here's something aspirational that we're kind of going to work towards, kind of like how, dare I say it, old school's working on sailing. Put forward a vision. sell that vision to the players. Lead the discussion on that. Don't let the discussion fall down to a point where it's driven by the community and community management at Jagex is in a reactive mode. Because have you guys noticed that immediately once Hero Pass happened, everything Jagex has done from the communication side has been reactive?
Yep.
Whereas everything beforehand through Necromancy and even the very start of Hero Pass, Jagex was, in effect, pushing the angle on that. And I am a strong believer that if you are in a situation where you are needing to be reactive, you've lost the ability to lead, and eventually you're going to end up off the side of the road.
Yeah, you're pushed on the defensive. I mean, I think the last time we'd had this conversation, I drew the comparison to Star Wars and Lucasfilm, who they had a big upset with one of their movies, and then they closed ranks and basically disappeared for like 4 years while they completely reinvented.
Well, that's what's happening right now, it seems, with RuneScape 3.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Like, Hero Pass went over like a lead balloon, and then Jagex closed ranks.
Yep.
And I mean, I think that's an understandable reaction, because like, yeah, something goes over that badly. Like, I'm a big fan of the saying that customers don't know what they want.
Yep.
I get some pushback on that.
Yep.
But whether or not that's a true statement, you do need to listen to your customers, because they're the ones paying you. And if your customers scream at you, "We don't like this," you need to listen to that.
Yep.
So I understand. Like,
and
yeah,
you need to figure out how to get ahead of them again. And wow,
right, take that feedback, go back to the drawing board, iterate a bit. But I do think completely closing ranks has done more harm than good.
As in, we're going to be halfway through 2024 here, and we don't know what the hell's going on.
Right, like, we're looking at these updates, and we're sort of inferring that Jagex is in a holding pattern. We're guessing that they're working on something. Like, Parnassius, you made this point in pre-show about how when you were a manager, like, you tell your people, own up to your mistakes, come and tell me. I think that if Jagex had, and like, I have some complicated feelings about Jagex's relation to its players, but I feel like if after Hero Pass came out, Jagex had said, we're changing our content strategy, here's what we're going to do about it, that might, even as I'm saying this, like, I guess they kind of did that, but
it wasn't immediately clear, because you really do have to read between the lines of the Mod Keeper post, what Mod Doom has been saying and what people like Mod Stew have said in the Discord.
Yeah.
They're being very political about things, where they're saying a lot, but not saying, as you said, you've got to read between the lines. Yes.
And you shouldn't have to read between the lines for a video game.
No.
Am I wrong about that?
Definitely not. But as I said, they're going to make mistakes. We all do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to crucify them because they've made one mistake or two mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Just correct it. Okay. I mean, I was one who did enjoy Hero Pass. I was disappointed that they took those rewards off that were there. But hey, it happened. That's fine. You did it. It was a one-time thing. Let's move on. Put your hand up. Yep, we screwed up. We've done this. Now, what we're going to be working on, we're going to take 6 months. And if you tell me I'm going to take 6 months, we're going to rework everything this in that time, we're going to have a few little updates and things, but we want to get this right for you. Okay, you've appeased me. I'm not going to be happy that, hey, it's going to be light for the next 6 months, but hey, at least I know that you're trying to do something. When you just shut down, we did this, and you know, we stopped this, and we did and then nothing, that's where you start losing that faith and that trust.
Yeah. And that's specifically what we wanted to address this week, is ask the question, has Jagex lost the trust of the players? And I think this is an interesting thing to talk about, because initially I was thinking the answer to this one was yes. Mm. But I think if you talk to the core player base who isn't you know, the ones consistently talking on Reddit and the ones who are, you know, not necessarily the loudest, like the completionists and people who don't have content right now. I think if you went out to, you know, the average RuneScape player and said, are you still getting value for, you know, your $12 or however much you're paying per month for your subscription, and do you trust that throughout the rest of this calendar year that Jagex will have interesting content for you? I think you would probably find that the majority of people would say yes.
Yep.
The majority at this point.
And I'm in that boat. I mean, as I said, I am sort of towards that end game type thing, and I'm starting to working on bossing, you know, getting into those high level bosses and such now. But there's still plenty of other content for me because, and I started in 2011. I started this game, and there's still so much that I've got. There are achievements, there are drop logs that I can chase and things like that. So, do I want the shiny new toy? Yes. But there is still enough content there that makes my yearly subscription worthwhile.
Zerdones, yeah. Do you think they've lost the trust?
I think there's a lot of answers to this question because, like, there's one level in which you're right. Like, there are different player types that Jagex is serving differently, and someone like Parnassius, you're getting value for your membership. Someone who is new to the game or maybe took like a 10-year hiatus and has just come back, they've got stuff to keep them occupied. Someone like me who is, I'm looking for that new content because a lot of the, like, I've done the goals that I wanted and a lot of the goals that are left don't interest me all that much. I don't want to say that I've lost trust, but I think that I'm not, I would be happier if there were more new content coming into the game. At the same time, like, also as a player who's very interested in the lore, I really want to see where the storyline is going. And that's something that Jagex has been noticeably quiet on, is, you know, what's the next storyline going to be? And
right.
I don't know, maybe the new Dragon Quest is
in
that direction.
And see, that's the interesting thing. You mentioned the Dragon Quest. We're getting this quest in April. Then the next thing with that is, what's going to be the pause in between beats on that? Because for 4 and 4 and 3, you know, like it or not, how they delivered that, there was new story coming out, you know, pretty much every month or every other month. So the question, next question will be is, well, okay, if we, you know, open the next page of this Mod Keeper post, is there, you know, another quest or another story installment coming in July for that? And
well,
see,
not to read anyone's minds, but I found it noticeable that they announced a quest but didn't specifically announce a storyline. And it was only from a JMod posting on Discord, I think, that we even got confirmation that it was an extension of
And it was Mod Jack. Yeah, an extension of 4.
I mean, just the name of it. The name of Requiem of a Dragon tells me that it is the wrap-up of the Vorkath storyline.
Yeah. And that was my first assumption as well. But there are other dragons that they could pull on. It could very easily be I don't know. I heard someone suggesting they could be going back to Krandor, and it could be talking about Elvarg. Go back to basics.
That'd be
or
fun.
Player two.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, that they've also told us that they are looking to wrap quest lines up in a row now, so they're going through that cycle. So rather than having three different quests running at the same time, they're going to do the one and then they'll move on to the next one. But as you said, I mean, what is the next one? What is coming?
Right.
What,
and
you know,
I thought we did wrap up the Vorkath and Zemeregal stuff. I thought that was fairly well done.
I would say we put Zemeregal in a
cellar.
Yeah, we put him in the closet. He's in a position where his story is ended, but in a way that can very easily continue. I think Vorkath is very much a dangling thread because Vorkath just kind of leaves.
Yeah, that's fair.
And we never went back to Ungale, which I remember commenting on that at the time, that, you know, this is a fair bit of environment work for a place that we spend 5 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, bringing it back to trust on that, you frame that from the lore player's perspective. I know the PBM community is always looking for, you know, what's next on that. And, you know, we don't know specifically what's that's going to be. We know that there is the necromancy Rex Matriarch in development, but that's going to be, you know, introductory PBM. We just got the combat beta, and they're potentially going to be looking at doing other combat beta things in the future. And that kind of, you know, leaves the PBM folks kind of dangling as well, with Zamorak and Rage pushing being one of the biggest things that they can do. Skillers, on the other hand, you know, you could look and say maybe skills like crafting or something to that effect need a skill update. Maybe other skills need to go to 120. But the point is that I think even if you look at last year's 4 and 3 stuff, most of that, and, you know, there was definitely some that helped at the high end, like the fletching stuff and the changes to the dine arrows. But I think the most of that was targeted at mid-level. So again, we're in that situation where when you ask that question, has Jagex lost the trust of players? It very much comes down to asking, well, are you somebody who has completed most of the goals that are left on your table? Or, like you said, Zerdones, have you just come back after 10 years, or are you a new player? And where you fall on that in terms of your goals, I think, is going to drastically influence your opinion on whether or not Jagex has lost the trust of the player base.
I feel like if I try to separate myself from where I am in the game, which I'm probably not going to be able to do successfully, but if I try, I feel like my biggest issue with the two roadmap updates we've had is that I don't get a sense that Jagex knows where they're going. And this kind of ties back into what you said earlier about presenting a vision, Shane, is like, as someone who works in software development, as someone who has business experience, I believe that internally Jagex is working towards something. As a player, I can't see what that is. And that makes me nervous.
Right. And I've come to, you know, largely the same conclusion as you on that, is that, you know, there has to be something, because you don't just, in effect, have half the team, you know, twiddling their thumbs, right?
Right. Like, there was a post on Reddit that I saw. Someone was like, we need proof that you're working on something to that effect. And, like, Earth and I were both looking at this like, what, Jagex is paying 100 software developers to just sit around and flip playing cards into a hat? Like, no, obviously they're working on something.
They're very expensive.
They are. They're very expensive, particularly in England. Very high cost of living in England. But I think, like, the sense that I do get is I'm sure you're working on something, but I don't know where you're going. And I don't get the sense from reading these posts that you know where you're going. And that concerns me.
And that's the kicker.
That's a concerning
thing. And that's the kicker. And that, I think, has been Mod Keeper's strategy, is to lean into what the players want. And that led to Necromancy in some roundabout way. And that also led to Hero Pass in some roundabout way. Yeah. Hence why there now needs to be a step back and realize that there's going to be live streams, there's going to be dev diaries, there's going to be player voice surveys, and Discord stages. I think the most unprecedented of those are the player voice surveys. And, I mean, at this point, this is maybe a cynical thing to say. Why not just go the full old school path of putting out a dev diary, putting a survey in that dev post, and then after you take that feedback on board, update it, and then put out a poll, if that goes forward.
I'm not a big fan of directing content by polls.
Because if there's no vision from Jagex, and it's going to come from the players, why not give players the full choice?
Oh, well, yeah, if there's no vision by them, but
I would very much like there to be a vision from Jagex.
Yeah, I think they do have a vision, but I think I think they're scared to announce it.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean then?
Well, that means that ModKeeper is a reactive leader.
No. I mean, what would the vision be that they'd be scared to announce?
Oh, well, I think because of failures like the Hero Pass and such, and the way that the community does react when it's something they don't like, I think they're just that they've got their vision they're going for, but they don't want to announce it because they don't want to cop all the negativity beforehand. It's I don't know. They just ModKeeper's leadership does seem to be sort of a more of a reactive than proactive leadership in just from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, from an external perspective.
And that's not trying to put him down. I mean, he's done some good things in the game, but it's just from what I'm seeing, and it may not be him, it might be sort of coming from above him,
He could have got a "Don't Rock the Boat" directive.
Exactly, that's right. And
acquisition
because they're
exactly because like they're trying to sail and that, so they're just trying to say, well, let's just keep the boat steady, running on course, nice and slow. Slow and steady is the way to go at the moment until we get the sail through, and then we can bring everything out.
It did go through.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we know who got it?
CVC.
American company?
Yeah, another venture capitalist firm.
Great.
Yeah. But I think that's why answering this trust question is so difficult, is because it depends on, where you fall as a player. Yeah, and there's no... I don't feel comfortable answering it for everybody. I don't think we can.
No, of course not. Yeah, no, everyone's going to have their own opinions.
Yeah. So I'm going to thank some Patreon supporters right now. Yeah. Hold that thought. This week, I'd like to thank Alvaro L., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvid Zell, Chilbura, Daniel W., Dominic R., Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Gila Fleur, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Keski, Lemon Lodge, Ling01, Luminos, Nate the Great, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirtpants, Targaryen, The Naked Captain, The Dabin Goat, Tim, Truthray, Tom V., Ukulele Steve, Zant, and Zazicon. Big, huge thank you to everybody on this list. It truly does mean the world to us. And if you're wondering what all this is about, head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB, where you can support the podcast for as little as $1 a month. And in doing so, you'll receive a special mention in our show notes, access to an entire catalog of monthly bits or bonus shows, as we call them. And Patreon members right now are voting for the next monthly bit, which includes abandoned content of RuneScape. So that might be something like the Church of You, Bank Bitters, the Quest That Shall Not Be Named, amongst other things. Another option is Divination, a postmortem, looking at where Divination sat and what it was initially intended to be and what it became, as well as the Quest Tier List Part 1. Right now, abandoned content and quest tier list are tied. The voting ends on Monday, so looking forward to see which one Patreon members choose on that. But we also have the VIP tier for $3 a month, where you'll receive a Discord chat channel, a mention of the podcast at the start of the month, high-quality stereo versions of the show, and, of course, everything else. And if you want to give a little bit more, we have our insider tier for $5 a month, where you receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, as well as getting the RSVNB update Christmas card. And we also, of course, have the experience tier, which is presently sold out. But big, huge thank you to those people, as we mentioned in the start of the show. But... I cut you off there, Pernasius. Did you have an extra thing on trust before we move on?
Yeah, I was just going to just let everyone know. Just remember, this is their livelihood. They don't want to see the game go down. You know, they're not actively working to try and ruin the game for us. It may be a little bit slow and things like that, but just remember, these are real people, real lives. Real debts that they want to keep their jobs. They want everything to keep going. So We sometimes do need to cut people a little bit of slack, even though it's something we don't like. We've got to remember they're doing what they think is best, and just always keep the criticism constructive. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
content,
a good
not person.
Precisely, precisely. So the question is, how do you get out of this slump? And that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? How do you rebuild this trust? How do you get out of this situation that they're in?
You've got to hit the next one out of the ballpark.
Yeah, exactly. Like, $1 million is right. It, the way you get out of it is the expensive way. High-quality, consistent content.
You've got to bring out an archaeology 2.0 type skill or content.
And see, that's precisely what I think it comes down to, because the game was in kind of a similar situation in 2019 after Anachronia, where, you know, deadlines were consistently being missed, and, you know, we kind of knew what was supposed to be on the way. That's when we had those behind-the-scenes posts, and, you know, in many ways, those behind-the-scenes posts got them in trouble back then. That's why they stopped. Haven't come back yet since then. But I think it comes down to figuring out what that vision for RuneScape is, either internally and executing on it, or, you know, even sharing it with the community at some point and saying, this is what RuneScape 3 is in 2024, and this is what it's going to be over, you know, the next year to 18 months, and the kind of stuff we want to try and do. And then after you share that vision and after you put that vision out there to people, as you guys said, deliver the content, deliver good quality content on time, and keep doing that back to back to back to back. As in, yep, you do it once, good, people will be happy about it. And as you keep doing that, you build up the expectation, that's how it's going to be. And I think that's the best way to get out of this. And I think the reason this is hitting so hard for a lot of people is because, if you think about it, we had the Elder God Wars, right? And we knew exactly what that was supposed to be. The Elder God Wars, and in general God Wars dungeons, were always four sections to it, right? And they took this up to the maximum level with Elder God Wars, to the point where each one was a high-level boss encounter and had content associated with it that leaned into skilling and other aspects of the game, and, you know, and even broad lore with it. And this continued from June of 2021 all the way through January of 2022, when that started winding down and came to the ultimate conclusion with Extinction and Twilight of the Gods in April and June of 2022. So you have this year-long plus, almost 18-month-long run of a style of content that was the Elder God Wars, that brought out the Elder God Wars dungeon in four chunks, and after that, brought out lore week by week for 7 months, ending, of course, with Het's Oasis and the Zamorak quest that made Zamorak the one who was going to, you know, in effect, throw the wrench into the spanner and kick things off that led to Extinction, and then you wrap it up with Extinction and Twilight of the Gods. And that was something that was telegraphed that was going to be an 18-month long run, and they talked about that in early 21. And that's the same sort of thing that we need here. We need something at a 6 to 12-month cadence that's going to say, this is the direction that we're going, this is the kind of content that you can expect, we're going to do it month by month by month. There's going to be something for everybody along the way. And yep, in doing that, that's how I think you build back trust.
Yep. And I like that type of thing. It's because you knew it was coming out. You had that sort of long-term goal.
You had something to look forward to.
Exactly right. It didn't matter if it was 2 or 3 months away. You knew it was coming then, because they were continuing that storyline. And I think that's the problem here. We're wrapping up the Vorkath storyline. Requiem, to me, is the final thing. What is the next step? And there's just nothing on what is coming next. You know, We're going to see Zaroth come back. I mean, that hasn't been wrapped up. You know, he disappears and just bang. And I mean, they were building him up, and then all of a sudden, he's gone. It's just like, well, hang on. You know, what's happened? Those type of things. We need that 12, 18, even 2 years of storyline that is going to be coming through and letting us know what's happening and that gives everyone, it gives the lore maker, the lore people, it gives the questers, it gives the skillers, it gives the PVM people, because they can wrap up so much content into that, it gives something for everyone out there. It gives something for the new players. It gives something for the completionists, the maintainers, as you called them. Mm. You know, it's there for everyone, and that's the vision I think we need. The leadership team, and that's not just on Keeper. This is the entire leadership team need to sit down and say, hey, what is that vision? What are we going to do? What is the storyline? And what are we going to let people know?
And I mean, if Jagex came out next week and said, you know, this is what the rest of 2024 is going to look like, and we're going to tell you what's going to be happening, you know, giving you, you know, more details on, of course, April, May, June, and also some vague details on July, August, that would be fine, because that gets us to RuneFest, where they can, you know, spill the rest of the year.
Right. That's right. And they say, hey, you know, we are, you know, coming up at RuneFest, we're going to talk about what is going to happen in the wilderness, you know, the continuation of the wilderness storyline and things like that. That's all I need, just something that... I know you are working on something major, and we know they're working on something major, but we need to know not full details, but just broad brushstrokes.
Right. And I think by saying that, you get to the core problem with this is that the community who wants to know more and the community who are, you know, maintaining their accounts as is are in effect being treated like children. When in reality, they should be treated like adults. And, you know, it might hurt Jagex in the long run, but at this point, is there really anything to lose? If they would provide more information on April, May, June, and a bit of a teaser on July and August, would that really hurt much right now?
No, well, I think it would.
Devil's advocate is the... If they do that and they can and they meet those obligations, then no, there's no danger. The devil's advocate position is if they announce something that they can't deliver on, that does become an issue, and we've seen that time and again. We've seen that with Mod Ramen's comp cape particle recoloring. We saw it with the avatar rework. We saw it with Winter 2017.
Mobile.
Like, yeah, mobile. That was the reference, yes, mobile. That's the danger of doing that.
Yeah.
Is if we can't meet it, then that's going to be hanging over us for the next decade.
Scary music cue right now. because that and I think that's probably why they haven't is because when you look at everything that's happened so far, do they really want another PR fiasco in September right after RuneFest last year, given all this, you know, if something goes wrong?
Absolutely.
So and in many ways you're kind of doomed if you do and doomed if you don't, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the problem with it. It's because we do have such a passionate community, you know, and in this day and age where, you know, you do unfortunately have content creators who thrive on creating chaos and drama, you know, it does hurt these companies like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, we've been at this for, you know, almost an hour on this, and I wasn't sure if we were going to do this week or if we were going to do something else entirely. So I guess my question to the both of you is RuneScape okay?
I think so.
Yeah, in my mind, it's okay. As I said, there's still plenty of content. Yes, there is a very vocal minority, and that's just the way things are these days. The vocal minority are the ones who are there screaming and the perpetually outraged, as I like to call them. I've been told RuneScape is dying since I started the game in 2011. When I first started, someone said, "What are you starting this game for? It's going to be dead in a year." Here I am 12 years later still playing it. So the doom and gloom has always been there. I think it is hurting a little bit at the moment, it's certainly not on its deathbed.
No, and you know, I could make a horrible analogy right now, is that you could in effect continue this content cadence that we're at right now. And, you know, for potentially maybe the next 2 to 3 years, maybe longer, maintain similar revenues coming out of Treasure Hunter.
Oh yeah, I mean, there are MMOs that get by with less updates than this. There are MMOs that get by with almost no updates. This isn't really an example of that, but like EverQuest is still going. They get updates about every 6 months, but they're still going.
I was going to say, a lot of the games that sort of people I know play, they get either quarterly or half yearly updates. So that's the content you've got to play for the next 6 months. And, you know, then you come back and do it. So, you know, the fact that we still, even if it is only a monthly update that we're getting, it's still a hell of a lot better than what a lot of others do give. And, you know, I don't think the game, as I said, the game's not dying. It is hurting a little bit for sure, but we just need that next big archaeology type update to restore confidence on by a lot of those people who do like to scream and complain about things.
All right, so Dones, is RuneScape okay?
Yeah, I mean, I would largely echo what Parnassius said. I think, like, yeah, we're in a period of uncertainty, but I have a lot of confidence in the developers and the content team to put out good stuff. And we all know they're working on stuff. We knew it in February. Mod Pips has confirmed it. There's plenty of content. The game is not dying. If the game were dying, and hold tight, because this is what we call a segue, if the game were dying, would we have sold out of RuneFest tickets so quickly?
That's such a great way of putting it, because the RuneScape fans are some of the most diehard ones out there, and I think even if things did, you know, get truly dire, you would find a way to keep things going, and, you know, you just have to look to the private server market for that.
Well, that's the thing about MMOs in general. Like, you can keep an MMO alive on a pretty small player base.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so, yeah, even if content cadence drops off, the game isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'm just going to do a brief summary for anybody who just wants a recap of what we have here. So we're in a situation right now where long-term players who have completed the game are looking for something new. Those people are, in effect, facing a content drought. Whereas, on the other hand, I think a lot of the people who are working towards goals, like Max, like Questscape, even 120 alls and whatnot, are still mostly satisfied with the game as it is and are happy with the weekly patches, monthly tweaks and fixes, monthly pieces of content that we have been getting, even if they're not part of some larger grand vision. We know now that Hero Pass has caused Jagex to significantly reevaluate how they make content. That much is clear from reading between the lines of both of ModKeeper's posts. And Hero Pass also saw devs moved and shuffled around. This was confirmed by Mod Stew in a Discord post this week where he was talking in one of the lore channels where he said that at the tail end of last year, Ramen was moved to Christmas. Stu himself was moved to Community Hitless. So that if that was happening for just those two, imagine what's been happening for everybody else. And then when you combine that with the fact they say they want to retool how they do things with more community influence in terms of things like stages, live streams, dev diaries, and even community direction surveys, what we're seeing now from that perspective kind of makes sense. And we can infer that a lot of the things are due to that change in direction. And because of that, I don't think we're in inherently a bad spot. I just think it's kind of a rough time to be in if you expect, you know, the next big thing to always be around the corner, because that really hasn't been telegraphed that much by the team. So,
yep.
Yeah.
That's sure. Where we're at. But RuneFest is on the way, September 7th and 8th, and for the first time ever, it sold out in minutes.
Yeah, it was wild.
I know we normally have like a dozen or so people go from Clan Quest, and only four of them got tickets this year.
Yeah, I was never planning on going, but I was watching people trying to get tickets live, and it was wild.
Yeah, I think I said this pre-show, I got myself debt-free, got rid of all my credit cards and everything this year, so I just live off the money I make. But I was sort of, when they announced, I go, okay, so I was working out a budget to fly from Australia to England to go, and then the next day I looked out and it was sold out, and I go, oh, don't need to worry about that now. I was surprised they only had 2,000 tickets. I actually thought there were more people that went than that. But
yeah, and see, I think it was Sirion who said that if you consider what Farnborough had, the last ones in 18 and 19, they were probably about 2,000 people, and the ones prior to that in London were actually smaller.
Yeah. That's what they said. They said, you know, 2,000 tickets was the biggest yet. So, it's I thought they would have more than that available. But, I mean, again, it's, as Zidane said before, it shows that the game isn't dying. When you've got, you know, 2,000 people snapping up all those tickets in minutes, you know, that is great.
Yeah, and there was also a question about scalping. Mod Mark was very active on the Twitter file on this, and he said they did some investigations on it, and they found that it was only about 1% of tickets sold or less. So that means, you know, less than or thereabouts 20 tickets went to scalping causes. So, you know, with that, it despite what folks have been saying that the majority of tickets went to scalpers, that was, you know, one of the worst takes I probably saw in this, is that it sold out because of scalpers and not the community.
That's just people being salty,
But it honestly makes sense in terms of supply and demand. We're dealing with pent-up demand here with there being no RuneFest since 2019.
Yeah,
it's absolutely. As simple as that.
Exactly. I was going to say, that's why I was going this year, because it's like, oh, wow, you know, the first one back after all this time, I want to be there for that. You know, obviously I'll still watch it online. You know, they'll be streaming it, so I'll be watching all those. But yeah, good on them for getting it there. And hopefully this shows that there is that demand for it next year. Maybe, we'll have a bigger venue.
Maybe they'll be back to their own venue and bigger.
Yeah.
Because they didn't use all of Farnborough there when they had it, actually. So,
but you know, this that they could have, you know, this one in England, and maybe next year they do one in America. You know, maybe it is time to do that expansion.
I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
I wouldn't hold it, but maybe it is time to look at starting to do some sort of expansion where you don't need all the mods. You just bring over a couple of them and just have that sort of setup where I think, you know, people love to, especially in America, they love to go to their cosplay things and such like that. So if you just have a few panels, you know, meet and greet type things. I think that would still be quite successful in America.
Yeah, RuneFest in USA would definitely be something. I think the places I'd most I don't know about that.
No, it wouldn't blow off down here, unfortunately.
My two places I'd say to have it in the US would either be Florida or Vegas.
Vegas. If they do Vegas, I'm there. And do it around June-ish so I can stay for the World Series.
the night before would be legendary in Vegas.
That's why I say that.
Yeah. Could you imagine? I'd go and get a new credit card. I would go and get a new credit card if that happened.
But of course, we'll have all the RuneFest updates as they arrive. And I just wanted to address that because there was a lot of talk about, you know, whether or not they actually sold out or if it was scalpers. But we got the update from ModMark on that, and it definitely makes sense that it's just pent up demand at this point.
When there's 2,000 tickets, I would highly doubt that many would be going to scalpers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, this week, anybody fancy the RuneScape cookbook?
I'm a little intrigued. I know one of our clan questers bought it and is planning to do a cooking event.
Is that Dark?
Based on recipes, yeah, that's Dark. Okay. Is planning to do that.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that.
When you buy the cookbook now, we already talked about some of the recipes in the past. But when you buy the cookbook, it contains a code to unlock the new chef's outfit in-game, which they're showcasing on the news post.
Yeah, that's also interesting.
I think it's a nice color scheme, you know, perfect with the cooking cape and whatnot. So I don't know if anybody out there would, you know, specifically buy it just for the outfit, but, you know, there's definitely going to be some completionist out there. Who's going to do this. I personally am interested to see what some of the recipes in here look like, though I think most of them are just real world recipes, just a little bit tinkered to be Gielenorian in name.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's how these kind of books generally go. Like, they're not going to be doing anything wild.
No worms, just because
No, you want normal people to be able to make these. I don't imagine we're going to see sailfish soup in there.
Yeah, well, what would be the like you'd have to have like an alternative, like sailfish would be some kind of fish, and so on and so forth.
What would you even replace sailfish with? Maybe tuna. You could get a good tuna steak,
right? And then, like, for example, the recipe page that shows their baked potato three or more ways. And I forget who said it, but, like, who needs a cookbook to do a baked potato? But, I mean, I guess if you want it with the RuneScape ingredients on it, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just loaded ideas for loaded potatoes.
Yeah.
Which, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and then the other one they showed was shrimp. Cooking shrimp is just blackened shrimp tacos.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is good enough. So.
Yeah.
But in other news this week...
I will admit to everyone on here that I actually was one of the ones that pre-ordered it.
Oh, so you'll be getting the chef's outfit.
Yeah, I didn't get it for the outfit, obviously. I got the deluxe edition of the 20 years thing, and I just thought this was sort of a nice little addition to that type of thing. And, you know, I don't do a lot with my money, so I thought I'll splurge. It comes out. I think it was mid April. It comes out.
Yeah, something like that. Amazon, and I get now.
Yeah, I get free delivery off Amazon, so I got it. $50 Australian wasn't bad.
Yeah, that's not bad for a cookbook.
Nice. All right. Next up, some patch notes for the week. They added proximity audio to the Blooming Bros daily egg hunts, as well as a glowing effect to the Easter egg hunts to help improve visibility, which I know is something that was definitely needed after our discussions
Glory,
last
hallelujah.
Week.
Praise Guthix.
Because, like, until I looked at the wiki page, I had no idea we could find the damn things up in a tree or up in a crate, you know?
Yeah, it was rough doing it the first week, or the first day, sorry. It was tough.
So,
I still need to bloody... enhance the click box area, though. So even though you know where it is, some of those ones which are next to burrows and things, you've got to get that mouse just in the right spot to click on it.
The one right by the burrow I hate so much.
I know, that one, and the one near the deposit box in that mining area. It's a pain in the bum too. You've got to swing your camera around so that you can click on it.
Those tiny little things.
Well, it kind of mirrors then Easter egg hunting in real life when you were a kid, where you'd get yourself into all sorts of positions for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I've made this point before, but I don't think it's a particularly wise gameplay design decision to make the limitations of your engine part of your gameplay challenge, but you know,
that's a great way of putting it.
Hey, I still had fun when I was my kids were young, putting them up trees, making a little bird's nest and putting a few in there, making my kids climb trees. My ex-wife hated it. You can't let them up the trees. They'll fall and break their arms. And they're kids. They'll be fine. They'll bounce.
Walk it off.
Exactly. Just rub some dirt on it. It's fine.
Fine. Yeah.
That's what we used to do when we were kids.
Oh, I was always the one hiding the eggs in my family. When I was very little, the first time we did it with hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, God.
Stop doing that real quick.
What happened?
My mother found one in her one of her purses 6 months later.
Oh, no.
So plastic eggs from then on.
No.
Oh.
I mean, they were hard-boiled, so it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But
well, if that shell breaks, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So all plastic eggs from then on.
Holy crap.
No, we just use the chocolate eggs. Just put all those out there. I'd be out there at like 5 o'clock in the morning because the kids would get up at like 6 or 6:30 on Easter Sunday. So I'm up at 5 o'clock out there hiding. It was always better when it was like really raining outside because I only had to hide them inside then. But but it was always fun. The outside egg hunts were brilliant. Just watching the kids running around and... Oh, Brandon climbing up the tree to get to the bird's nest, and then he wouldn't climb down. He'd just jump down, and his mother would freak out all the time. It wasn't that high. I mean, it was only like my shoulder height.
Of course.
It feels bigger when you're a kid.
Exactly.
It feels epic.
They added a bloom effect to the puzzle in Branches of Darkmire, and they made it less bright to make the colors of the orbs more distinguishable.
Yeah, they reduced it. I remember doing Branches of Darkmire on Fresh Start, and it was awful. I think even on my main, it was pretty rough. I think I had to change it to like
that quest has always been pain.
There's bits.
The Hunt for Memories puzzle was also updated to be more intuitive on mobile devices. In particular, the Place Beacon menu was updated to appear next to the beacon instead of on top of it, and you now have to click on the area that you want to place the beacon twice in order for the menu to appear. And of course, we're talking about the Fremenic Saga Nadir, which we recently talked about in the Moya Lore Diggers episode.
Yeah, that's the Moya one. So that's presumably also the one in Dishonor Among Thieves too, then. I would assume they use the same code.
Yeah, and see, the fun bit about this is that I always view those sagas as some of the, you know, the jankiest content that's in-game, but the very fact these things are still receiving, you know, some of these updates to make them work on mobile is a good thing, not only for the people playing on mobile, but just for the fact to know that these sagas aren't, you know, forgotten content, because they could all very well, you know, use a pass, given how prevalent Moya had become in the recent quest lines, as we talked about in that Lore Diggers.
And that's
episode.
Kind of the thing about a game, particularly an MMO of this age, is there's so much content. And a lot of it is stuff that there's not really a lot of reason to go back and do.
Yeah.
But if you're a new player, nobody tells you that.
No.
You're just going to stumble on this stuff and go, oh, hey, there's a thing. I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter if it's 5, 10, 20 years later.
And this is also another piece of evidence to, you know, to the people on Reddit or whatever who were saying that Jagex were twiddling their thumbs. The very fact there are have the ability to go in and, you know, fix and provide fixes to these old pieces of content, mm-hmm. like this speaks to the exact opposite of what those types were saying.
Yeah, people are definitely working on stuff.
So,
I love those old things. Well, that's when I was going for my Master Quest cape, when I was looking up all the things I had to go for. That was, people complain, but I actually quite enjoyed it. Yeah, the clicking was a little bit annoying, but the actual,
you know, if I'm being honest, Nadir was the best one of the three, because that one came out over after EOC and actually incorporated that stuff into it. So
yeah. No, I enjoyed them all. So
yeah. There's a lot of gameplay jank in the sagas, but I will defend them on story grounds.
Yep.
Particularly Vengeance.
It is no longer possible to cast high or low level alchemy on the Dungeoneering capes inside Daemonheim.
I didn't fully understand this. I understand from talking to people in the community that this is devastating to Irons, but I don't fully understand why.
My sense is that this gives you a GP boost once you're inside the dungeon, and then that allows you to just go in and purchase things for crafting, is the sense that I got, is that it was something that harmed crafting in particular.
Right, okay. And crafting is going to be pretty tough for Irons.
Right, and that's another thing that Fresh Start taught us, is that a lot of the, you know, low to mid-level skills are interestingly best trained. I was going to say taught, but best trained in Daemonheim.
Yeah, well, I think Daemonheim missed a lot of the XP balancing that other training methods got.
Yep.
So I think a lot of that is still using like the 2000 and God, when did Dungeoneering come out? 2008,
10
balancing, 2010, 2010 balancing numbers. So that makes it a little odd. And also, like, there is tier 90 equipment or tier 90 materials for a lot of skills that don't have that in the overworld.
Exactly.
Crafting being one of them.
Yeah. I know runecrafting was also very OP in Daemonheim and Fresh Start with the multipliers and whatnot. So,
yep.
And, you know, this just goes to kind of what we were saying. It might have been this episode, but it might have been a previous episode about how crafting needs some work.
Definitely. Yeah, crafting's in a weird
place. Right, because it's kind of just a utility skill right now that you kind of use if you're making armor. Like, there's no real reason that you jump up and down and say, I'm going to go crafting.
It used to be, there used to be a whole lot more reason to do it, because you would get, like, containers, and you would get armor, like you said, and you'd get all these little things that you don't really need anymore.
Yeah.
Like, jewelry you mostly don't need anymore.
Like, I think your three biggest uses of crafting in this day and age are your flasks, your urns, and any armor, ranged armor that you need to make along the way.
Which is very little.
Yeah.
Basically, once you hit level 70, there's very little crafting happening in armor.
Exactly, and that's why this, from the iron perspective, is interesting. And it doesn't immediately say it on the tin, but that is what it is in relating to. So
right, okay,
all right. That's patch notes. The much requested quarterly wrap ups have arrived for the first quarter of the year.
Much anticipated.
They will become a thing going forward. Quarterly.
Speaking of promised once, never forgotten.
Right. I enjoyed mine. Gain any insights out of yours?
I wouldn't say insights. I was confused. The thing that confused me is I wasn't clear on what time period it covered.
Exactly.
Because, like, I was looking at the XP numbers and trying to compare them to rune pixels, and it didn't seem to make a lot of sense, because, like, it says that I've gained 1,000,000-something XP in smithing, but I've been basically hard AFK smithing ever since the Easter event started. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, so this is obviously ends before the Easter event started. But then I go down my top three most visited locations, number three, Bloomingboro. So I don't even know what to think.
What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that skipping ahead a little bit, that sort of tells you what I've been doing in-game recently.
Yeah. But... Pern, did you get one?
Yeah, I'm just looking it up now. I've got 194 mil XP earned, 449 hours played, 2,000 bosses killed with one death.
Nice.
Login streak, 64, 100 rune score earned. My top train skills, that would have been over DXP, 37 mil cooking, 29 mil fletching, and 22 mil fire making. That would be right, because that was over that DXP weekend.
Yeah.
But it obviously doesn't count. Oh, no, it wouldn't count levels over 120, because I'm 120 all, no, so I've gained no levels, so yeah.
It doesn't count any virtual levels.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's the key point there. And, you know, this obviously includes up to the last double XP, because my 117, 118, and 118, 119, and 120, I can't count, necromancy is shown in here is gaining three necromancy levels, and the last 27.9 million XP is in there, yep, too. So that was there. For that,
the financials was interesting.
Yeah, the financials
yeah,
bit was fun.
Yeah.
The fun bit about that one, if I pull that one up, I don't exactly know where this lands, but it's 706.8 mil gold earned and 1.4 billion gold spent. I don't know
you are not balancing your budget, Shane.
No, I'm not. Largest sale, 232.9. Largest spend, 698.9 mil. 14.4 mil lost to the GE fee.
Mine's 517 earned, 157 spent. Largest sale, 92 mil. Largest spend was 105 mil. I got taxed 10.5 mil. My net GE gold, 359.4. So... I'd love to know what the point, what the date between these.
Yeah,
are.
That's the biggest thing.
I think that probably would have been more clear if it had come out when they said it was going to. Because I think they first announced this sometime
December.
In December, I think.
Yeah.
It was late December? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that would have maybe been a bit more clear, but.
Yeah, and my three most used lodestones are Ooglog, Menaphos, and Fort 4 and 3.
Yeah,
I'm Felidor and Fort Farinthry. What about visited locations?
Prif, Wars Retreat, and City of
I got Fort Farinthry, City of and Prif.
Yeah, those are going to be big ones. Yep, Prif, and the Blooming Burrow for me.
Well, yeah, my bus kill summary.
It's only been out a week. How'd that crack number three for you?
Because basically ever since I got 120 Necromancy, I haven't been playing very much. Like, ever since between 120 Necromancy and the Easter event starting, other than, like, the quest, which the quest is City of basically all I've been doing is logging in for dailies. So, I spent a lot of time in for doing 120 Necromancy, and then after that, it's Prif and Fort Farinthry for my dailies, for daily challenges. And that's basically it. And then I've been in the Easter event, basically camping the Easter event ever since.
Yeah. And I also found it interesting that they show the most worn overrides and the most equipped items. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, that was interesting. Not super interesting for me, because I basically just wear the same thing. So right. Mine are all like 6,000 minutes.
Yeah, same on that, except for...
mine are all invisible, except for the Luck of the Dwarves ring and the Master Quest cape. All the rest are invisible.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I will say, if anybody wants one of these going forward, I think they have a link in the news post where you can go and sign up to these and you'll receive them. I think they're doing them quarterly.
Actually, so. If you have a look, if you go down to the bottom, it's got Want More Insights. You can actually get your entire 2023 summary.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah,
it links to an image.
Yeah,
Oh,
it takes
okay.
you to a PNG that just says your 2023 review is on the way. So I'm thinking they designed a template that they're going to use in the future.
Yeah.
And that's going to be like, look at last year's data, except there is no last year's data because this is the first year they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Fair enough. Yeah.
That's my guess anyway.
That's happy though, because I didn't buy just, I just clicked it as read and I didn't actually look at it until we got on here. But yeah, it's, it is into, I mean, my boss kills 1,269 Kelphite Queens with no deaths.
Nice.
Vindicta and Gorvex second, 458, which is now over 1,700 now. And Krill, 159, which was obviously when I was getting the stuff for my Necro armor.
Yeah. Hunting subjugation pieces, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. I was surprised Krill didn't crack my top three for the same reason, and I did a few hours of him for necromancy training. So yeah, I'm guessing whenever they started was after that.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
My top three, unsurprisingly yeah. were Raziel, Carapac hard mode, and Vindicta when I was testing ranged on the necromancy standards.
Oh, so do they break it down by hard mode versus normal mode too?
That's a good question. I don't know if they did, but I haven't done anything about hard mode.
So. Right. Okay. So it just says Carapac.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I had 9 deaths at Raziel in that period, and I can tell you that those deaths happen when it's too late and it's time to close the client.
Yeah, mine all say no deaths on those ones, but obviously they're the easy bosses.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Healing consumption. I drank 115 doses of Elder Overload Salve.
Nice.
It shows that.
It shows your most doses of potion.
All foods. Okay. 78 sharks. Food, yeah. 78 sharks and 115 Elder Overload potions were mine.
Yeah. 1,300... Blue Blubber Jellyfish and 2,300 Cerebrew.
Yep. I've got 178 Sharks and 290 Cerebrew.
I'm using Cerebrews now, finally.
Nice.
But well, I made 10,000 Elder Overloads before the Necro update, so...
We'll get on to what we've been doing in a brief moment, but first, just a couple of achievements on the list here from this week, starting off Zookeeper 53 with 99 Archaeology on March 24th, Lady Claw with 120 Magic on the 23rd, and Mej Quest with 99 Dungeoneering on March 22nd.
Congratulations,
everyone. Pick of the week time. So I have something here that it's a Windows utility, which is different for me since I normally stick on the Mac OS side. But I needed one of these on Windows because I already have a nice one on Mac OS Daisy Disk. So back in the day, we used to use something called Winderstat, but that piece of software has gotten older over time. So instead, there's a different kind of software that does the exact same thing. It's called WizTree, and it's much faster than Winderstat. So the idea behind this is that if you have a hard drive with a limited amount of storage on it, or you maybe have an SSD that you like to keep your games on, and you're trying to figure out which ones are the biggest, you just get something here like WizTree, and it will run through the entire list, and it will provide you a graphical representation of where that space is being eaten up on your hard drive, and then also with that provides you an interface to say, well, maybe I want to clean some up here in this Steam library. Maybe I want to move some of these old media files off this drive to a different drive to make some room on that. Because, you know, I think we've all been there time and time again where we're just sitting there and trying to figure out, you know, how do I free up this extra 50 gigs of space I need because something I want to install is 150 gigs large. And WizTree will let you do something like that. And it's just one of those tools that you always have in your back pocket. You're not going to use it every day, but it's definitely something that I think anybody who uses Windows should be aware of and occasionally runs into the case. Well, this drive's almost full. I could probably use something else instead on that. So, I just wanted to highlight this because I just feel like it's a good utility for everybody to have in their back pocket. So,
this is going to be a very niche comment to make, but I appreciate their monetization model where it's free for personal use, but you're not really sacrificing features. Basically, the only thing that you're sacrificing is support, and you know, they rattle the can at you every so often, which is fair.
And that's kind of the same way of like, you know, late 90s shareware, of how that used to work, right?
Right, like WinRAR still does that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate software that does that, because that's sort of becoming less and less common in software in general.
Yeah, like I absolutely hate the subscription model to software.
Yeah.
I want to just buy it.
Yeah.
Buy it once and have it sort of thing. And you know, with these sorts of utilities like this, you really have to question how much am I going to be using this, and is it worth paying for? Is it just something that you know you maybe want to have you know free on this, and especially when it's something that actually looks like it actually integrates well into a modern version of Windows in terms of the UI that we can see on here, compared to how some of this other software that's really just been, you know, been carried forward since Windows XP. On that, and that's important to me because it shows that the software developers actually care about the user experience at the end of the day.
For sure.
So, all right, what have we been doing? Let's start with the user don'ts. I think
I've pretty much already covered it all. I've been amping at the Blooming Burrow, mostly smithing foil because I can pretty much AFK it while I'm working.
Okay.
I'm trying to get all the buy out the shop, because I probably mentioned this on every show I'm on, but I took a long break from the game, so there's a lot of holiday cosmetics that I missed that I'm trying to catch up on. I'm now about 9,000 tokens away from buying out the shop, so that'll be good. I should be able to get that done this weekend.
Yeah, and then you'll be done, and have no reason to go back.
There is a cap of 30,000 on those tokens, too.
Oh, that's fine. I go out at the end of every day, and I just buy what I can with what I've got. So
yeah, that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
So that's not an issue.
So
I've also gotten, I think, 3 of those Skilling Bunny pet tokens.
Okay.
Oh, I've got that first one, and I haven't had one since. I've bought out the shop. I've bought 6 of the
And you don't need to be training eggs. This skill for it. You just do stuff in the burrow and they come, right?
You actually don't even need to be in the burrow. From what they said, you can get it from anywhere. Anywhere in the game.
Wow. Oh, yes, I'm really,
that's
really
what
unlucky.
Said, yeah. Well, yeah. I think I'm just really lucky because they are supposed to be quite rare.
Yeah, I got one in the first 2 hours, and I haven't. Oh, nice. I haven't seen one since.
Yeah, I've been mostly AFK, so I don't really know when I got them. I just know I checked my bank a couple days ago, and hey, there was one there. And then I checked my bank this morning. I was like, oh, hey, there's one there. And then
actually a patch note this week. Is that they'll go to the bank directly now if your inventory's full?
Oh, so I wonder how many I lost. I don't know. Maybe I could have had more. I'll never know.
All right. How about you, Pernasius? Anything new on the PVM front? Since we're 2 weeks in on that.
No. My back went out a few days ago, so I've been basically lying prone on the couch and just sitting here at in Easter. Last night I thought I'll just go down the mall because I still need the pet there. I'll just do an hour down there while I'm watching TV, because it's very, very AFKable. You just got to click each room that she goes to, and first kill, I got the pet. So that logs
now. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I did a few runs at Zuck. I get to the end now. most times. Still haven't been able to take him out though. So
yeah,
but consistently getting to Zuck. So you know, I've had I think 3 or 4 attempts at him now. So I'm hoping probably if the back heals up over the next few days, hopefully sort of Monday, Tuesday, I'll be back down there again.
How is the how are the graphics in the Zuck fight? Because I know there was an engine issue with the fire for the pizza phase that they did
not
a hot
showing
fix
on the floor.
Yeah,
yeah.
They did a hot fix to put something in. I'm just sort of curious how well that turned out.
Yeah, that's where I've actually died twice. I just don't see it. All of a sudden, I'm just like, bang, I'm dead. I'm going, what?
Right.
Yeah. So I think they said that was waiting for an engine update to fix.
Yeah, okay. From what I understand, the problem is that they changed some stuff in deep animation code, and that resulted in the fires spawning below the surface, and they can't fix it. They can't do a client fix without screwing up a whole bunch of other animations.
Fair enough.
They did some kind of hot fix to like put in some kind of proxy graphic. But yeah, it's waiting for an engine fix to get a proper correction, which I think they said was scheduled for April.
What they should do, if anyone who's died down there 3 times because of it, they should just give them the cape automatically.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be
nice, wouldn't it? Or just you know, any Australians that happens to.
Yeah.
But no, I'll get down there. I might actually go and try out some of the other bosses now that I know about that part of it.
Right.
But yeah, it's been fun. So
that's good.
I'm enjoying PVM a lot more now that I'm sort of doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And see, that's the thing. It's all about lowering the barriers, and that's precisely why we did that last monthly bit. So
yep. No, that's really helped out, and as I said, enjoying it a lot more now, and all my kill times are coming down.
Yeah, that'll happen too. And just wait till
I took something like 36 seconds off my Gorvac time.
Oh, that's nice. That's cute.
Just wait till you get the Zuck cape, and you can work the death skulls into the rotation more.
Yeah,
yeah.
I only want the cape, but I thought, well, I might just go and do some of the others where I'm still sort of, and that's I'm still learning the bosses that way, and then the cape will just when I need to start going for better times and that type of thing. So I want to sort of sit there and do some. Araxi, because I used to enjoy that when I was doing it. As I said, I had 70 kills pre-COVID. So I want to get back there and try and get that boss log done after I do Gorvec.
That's a rough log. Good luck with that one.
Yeah. Well, that's what and that's what I mean. I mean, you know, there is so much, even though I am sort of complete and there's not a lot of stuff, there is a lot of extra things you can sort of set as personal goals to get out there. So
for sure.
Rightio then. As for me, I this week have continued the Raziel log pushing on the main and on the skill pier. I did some A-guns and I got the nice outfit because I wanted that one. Outfit that came from the egg hunts. And interestingly enough, first week's egg hunt, I haven't done the second week's one yet, but the first week's egg hunt, you could not do if you did not have Dragon Slayer unlocked.
Because of Crandall. Because
of Crandall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Didn't think of that. Right. Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting for a holiday event to put, you know, the egg gathering part of it behind Dragon Slayer, because I don't think we've ever had anything like that before.
No. Well, I think it's tempered somewhat by the fact that you don't need all of the eggs to get all
the
rewards.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, because you have the Gilinor egg hunt, and you have the community egg hunt, and when you combine all those together, by the end of it, you're going to have enough to get what you want from that store.
And the community egg hunt gives a lot of points. I don't know if you have you done
yeah,
that one yet.
I did.
Yeah, that gave a ton.
Yeah, I think it's like 16 for the last egg. It's so many.
And you know, I honestly think that that aspect of this update, we didn't talk about it much last week, but I think that that aspect of the update really sings well, just in terms of what they're trying to do with community and community interaction and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I mean, sure, you can do it by looking at the wiki, and you can just go to a busy world like 2 or 84 or something to get that final egg in Ashdale. But if you really wanted to do it with your clan or your community, you can do that, and it just feels so nice. So,
yeah.
But that's what we've been up to. That's what we've been doing, and that's the current state of affairs for RuneScape this week, given a mod keeper's post and everything that we've talked about so far. Do either of you guys have anything else before we go?
No. Just it's pill time.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, very important.
Well, with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of Update. If you guys want the podcast delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, Amazon, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe. And, of course, you can also head on over to YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. There you can give a like and subscribe to the show. It greatly helps the channel out. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Happy scaping all.
Bye.